will not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. And then in Luke 22, verse 54, then having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You also are of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow was also with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you're saying." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." Then Peter went out and wept bitterly. And the key verses of this time together, I believe, is Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. And the Lord said to Simon, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." May God bless us as we look together at these well-known portions of Holy Scripture. I suppose out of all the things that Peter, Simon Peter, ever did, he's most remembered for the time that he denied the Lord. Peter's denial, one of the most well-known portions of Holy Scripture. It's a very funny thing, is it not, that we are always remembered most of all for our one failure, and the 99 things that we may have done are forgotten. But that one failure seems to remain with us. And let me fill you in right away about my own feelings about Simon Peter. Even although he denied the Lord three times, he was still a mighty man of God. And dear brother, dear sister here tonight, I want to assure you that maybe you have failed and let the Lord down, but Jesus loves you just as he loves Simon Peter, and his great desire for you tonight is to make you mighty men and women of God. Peter, despite his failure, was an up-and-doer, and that's what we want in our societies today, up-and-doers. I'm afraid that one of the great weaknesses of Christendom right across the board is apathy, lying down. Well, Peter might have denied the Lord, but one thing you could never accuse him of was apathy. He was alive and active in service for Jesus. He was zealous for the Lord. Well, that is just a few outline thoughts that I bring to you. But that great servant of God, at the very best, was only a man. And it's good to remember that the greatest of God's servants are only men and women, with all the failings and the weaknesses of Simon Peter. Now, in today's message, I want us to look at three things: the warning that Peter had,
the weakness that Peter had and the weeping that Peter experienced. The warning, the weakness, and the weeping. The warning of Simon Peter. Somewhere between the time spent with the Lord and his disciples before they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus said, and it's very important when Jesus speaks, he says, "Simon, Simon, watch out. Satan has asked to sift you like wheat." Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. Now, what does that mean? Well, notice, first of all, he calls Peter by his first name. And secondly, he calls that name twice. He's saying, "Simon, Simon." He is imploring him, as it were. He's begging him to pay attention and watch out. Watch out for what? Satan. Satan desires to sift you like wheat. Now, what does that mean? Well, in those days, I think it was mainly the women, brethren, that did this task. It was the women who would get a sieve in both their hands and fill that sieve with wheat or corn or whatever grain may have been around at that time, barley, and sieve it with all their might. On this occasion, it was wheat. And they would sieve it vigorously until all the husk had disappeared and only the pure grain remained. And Jesus, once again, is using this wonderful practical illustration to warn Peter that he's about to be shaken like wheat in a sieve. Satan, as always, was out to destroy Peter. And although his tactics vary today, his aim is exactly the same: to break down the men and women who seek to follow Jesus, to break down their relationship with the Son of God. And Peter was as vulnerable as a grain of wheat in a sieve being shaken for all that sieve could stand. And Jesus, in tremendous love, with the horror of Gethsemane and the agony of Calvary and the cruel trial awaiting him, has time to draw this servant aside. And isn't that a great comfort? That in this great big world, when no one seems to have time to listen to you and I, that same person, the precious Lord Jesus, has time to listen and communicate with you. And on that occasion he says, "Simon, Simon, watch out. Satan desires to sift you as wheat." And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters in Christ here tonight, that if you seek to follow the Lord Jesus, Satan seeks to do the same to you and to me, to sift us like wheat. And I believe with all my heart that the Lord Jesus is calling you by your name, and he's saying, "Watch out, watch out. The enemy seeks to sift you like a grain of wheat in a sieve." Satan wanted to break Simon Peter's relationship with the Lord Jesus. And this message implies not only to Simon Peter, but all of us. And but you say, "I'm keen. I've come to the Methodist Revival Fellowship. I've traveled miles. It's cost me money." And that's the very reason, maybe, that the devil wants to sift you. But don't let anyone be mixed up in their own minds, thinking that because they've come here, that they're outside of the attack. was only sharing with friends earlier, if I could share with you, and I'm not going to, what has happened to yours truly in this last year since we met here, it's unbelievable. And 99.9 of the problem, Satan has been at the back of it. And as the scripture says, brothers and sisters, sin couches at the door. Its desire is for you. Sin couches at the door. Its desire is for you. Well now, the warning that Peter had shows up the weakness, the Adamic nature that was in this rugged Galilean fisherman. Now Peter, he heard the warning. We hear God speak, for he doesn't only knock once, he knocks twice and many times more. Simon was aware of Jesus' voice. Satan desires to sift you like wheat. He heard it all right. He heard it, for he replied, "It's all right, Lord. Don't worry. If needs be, I'll go to prison for you. I'll die for you, Lord." Haven't we all said that? And somewhere along the line, that cunning devil has come in, not always like a roaring lion, but sometimes like a snake. And the wonder of it is to me that Jesus knew Peter better than Peter knew himself. And the Lord Jesus knows you, and he certainly knows me better than we know ourselves. And I believe with a great ache in his heart, the Lord said to Peter, "The cock will not crow until you have denied me three times. Even deny that you even knew me." Now I'm sure Peter meant to be loyal to the Lord. So where was his weakness? Was he confident in his own strength? Brother and sister, have you experienced some fruit of the Spirit in your life? Have you experienced some gift of the Spirit in your life? And you feel confident that you are able to stand? Maybe you seek to stand by intellectualism, by knowing the Bible as bibliolatry from Genesis to Revelation, standing in your own ability. And who's not done it? Who's not done it? Was he unaware of the subtlety of Satan? Is every born-again believer here tonight aware of the subtlety of the evil one? Well, how did Simon Peter fall? Why was he so weak? He'd heard what Jesus had said. He'd received the warning. He'd answered it. Well, the Bible tells us, and it's very important to pay attention to what the Bible says, oh, that every congregation in Methodism, in fact in Christendom, sat there with a Bible on their laps. Well, the Bible says that night he followed Jesus at a distance. Oh, you've come to this wonderful meeting. You've come to this revival fellowship weekend. But are you and I following Jesus from a distance? That night, Simon Peter followed Jesus at a distance. And the first denial came from a young girl, a young servant maid perhaps. She identified Simon as a follower of Jesus. Now she may have been a very nice young woman, but there's no account here that she followed Jesus, but she recognized that Simon Peter did. And out of fear or embarrassment, Peter starts to deny. Now I want to tell you this. Sin never stops at one. It creeps on. It builds up. Unless sin is rooted out, it snowballs. And it gets bigger and more complicated. Out of fear or embarrassment, Peter starts to deny. The company around the fire, their friendship, his popularity, suddenly becomes attractive to Simon. Simon, you see, was beginning to feel the shaking of the devil. Shake you like wheat. And the shaking started gradual, but it's getting momentum now. It increased, and finally this great soldier of Christ denied Jesus the third time, this time with an oath. And listen, Jesus knew all about it. With wondrous love, amongst all the noise and the weariness of that false trial, Jesus looked across the courtyard at Simon, this Simon who he'd warned. And as he looked, the cock crowed. And things, beloved brethren, have not changed. Men and women, you and I included, think very often that we know better than God. But when we fall, the pattern has always been basically the same. Prayer life slackens. The Bible reading becomes a burden. Meeting with God's people loses its appeal. The unbelieving friend who perhaps we've started to mix with or spend time with may be wonderfully kind, but Satan would use anything, anyone, to break us down. The world may be very attractive and harmless in some of its pursuits, but if these pursuits or people separate us from the Lord, then we need to watch. Many of my friends tell me that it wouldn't be very harmful for me to do this and that or the other. And sometimes I say to them, well, at your so-called harmless gathering, what would they say if I suddenly announced I'm a follower of Jesus of Nazareth? That's all that happened, you know, in that courtyard, around that fire. A young, perhaps innocent woman was used as an instrument by the devil to start this shaking of Simon Peter. All she said was, this man was one of them. And the outcome from the warning and the weakness was weeping. It says Peter wept bitterly. There comes a time when every backslider, everyone who's fallen away, has to come back in repentance and tears. Simon wept of a broken relationship with someone he loved dearly. Ah, you say, I've come to this Methodist Revival Fellowship not to be hammered down, but to be built up. Well, if the error is not put right, we cannot start the rebuilding. But I'm not going to leave you there. You see, there's a fourth W. Some superintendent ministers of mine would have had me off the plan with four W's, but here tonight I know that that will not be the case. There's a fourth W. Remember the warning. Has God given you a warning? Remember, you're vulnerable. Our Adamic weakness is within every one of us. Remember, too, not to be ashamed of our tears. I remember an old Wesleyan preacher who used to ask, when people said that they'd had revival meetings, were there any tears? When was the last time we saw tears, true tears of repentance. Well, Peter wept, but there was a way back. That's the fourth W. There was a way back for Peter. Let me read the text again. And the Lord said, verse 31, Luke 22, if you haven't nodded off, you're all right, are you? Good. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But this is it. This is the way back. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Satan is asked to sift you like wheat, said Jesus, but I have prayed for you. Yes, Jesus prays for you, believing friend here tonight. If you're a child of God, if you've come to Calvary's cross and confessed your sin and been accepted into the Beloved, or you've been born again, whatever terminology you want to use, Jesus prays for you that your faith may not fail. Jesus prays for us when we might stop to pray for ourselves. Jesus prays for us when our dearest friends stop praying. Jesus prays that our faith will not fail. And when we come back to the fold, we will help to strengthen our brethren. In our Bible study back at Belmont, in the Epistle of Hebrews, if we've learned one great truth, is this: that Jesus Christ, after the order of Melchizedek, is not only the great king of Salem, he is our great high priest. And what is the function of a high priest? The function of the high priest is to intercede on behalf of those who come to him. And our great high priest tonight prays and intercedes on our behalf, not in a sanctuary made by hands, but in the very presence of the one true living God. And the message that I bring to this fellowship tonight, if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan may have sifted you and buffeted you like wheat in a sieve. But be encouraged, brother and sister, because Jesus prays for you that your faith may not fail. And when he brings you back to the fold, is he going to treat you as a substandard Christian? No, he's going to use you to help you to bring others into the fullness of full salvation. This is what happened to Simon Peter. He became an even greater servant of the Savior, who not only died for him, but prayed for him. What other religion can claim that? That our Savior not only died for us, that he rose again for us, but he continues to pray for us. So there was a warning for Peter. There was the weakness in Peter. There was the weeping of Peter. But praise God, there's a way back for Peter, as there's a way back for you and I, through our great high priest who prays for us. I think I'll leave you there. I don't want you to come to Ken for Rennie's at this time from spiritual indigestion. But if we can help anyone, do be free to come. And we thank our sister for playing for us. We're going to sing 368. The tune may be a different tune than normally set, but I know that you will know.